Dr. Clovey? Mr. Murphy? Mr. Hawley? Mr. Cockamo?
Here.
Dr. Citron? Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Pepe? Mrs. Murray? Mr. Colangelo?
Here.
Mr. Doherty?
Here.
Ms. Drew?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Mr. Iliano?
Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with the law by publication, in the official newspaper of the borough, and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk, as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. The quorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Please rise for the title of prayer and let me read it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is the portion of the meeting for any public comment or anything that is not on tonight's agenda. Does anyone in the public have any comment today?
Is there a comment or question?
Depends. Well, you're trying to say.
My name is Bob Sharon, I live at 20 Harbor View Drive, and I have a jewelry store at 85 First Avenue. I try to help the landlord, but she's living now in, like, North Carolina. The last time we were here, 4 or 5 months ago, they were trying to clarify what's available or legal in the historic district as far as. We have a young lady that wants to rent an office for to do facials, for example. And I don't know if that's changed at all since we were here last.
I believe that the one I was in here prior to. You know the building was standing as well. I believe that application was here in reference to when doing the skincare in the back of the building.
Well, that was a tattoo person in the back of the building. This is upstairs in an office. Where there used to be a
I'm not aware of any ordinance revisions in the last few months that would change whatever the zoning was at the last time that was investigated. So if it was required last time, probably it's the same process now.
And that would be a...
if it's not an allowable use in the zone, you would have to come, they would have to come to this board to approve the use or deny the use. Okay. Even though it would be a different property, but different property, similar business, different self.
It's the same property, just...
Yeah, I'm sorry, different unit.
Different unit. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Stein, any pending litigation?
There is pending litigation continuing on the contract. The plaintiff's trial brief is due tomorrow. Once we get that, we can then take a look at it and evaluate it. We can discuss it in the executive session next week.
Great. Other business. First, we have a consistency review of Ordinance 16-209, a copy of which is included.
Mr. Chairman, this is a consistency review. It is an ordinance proposed ordinance revision that does relate to the zoning and planning ordinance, and therefore it has to come to this board to determine whether or not it's consistent or inconsistent with the master plan. This essentially is an upgrade or an update to your escrow deposit ordinance. The ordinance provides that when a person makes an application, they are required to deposit an escrow with the borough to cover the borough's professional fees for your planner to review, for your engineer to review the application, for me to review the application through the process. This ordinance revision essentially refines what you already have. You have an escrow ordinance now. This revision gets more specific about what charges are allowed and what the charge is going to be, and that there are certain specific items that are now going to be required, particularly with regard to traffic engineering, where you have commercial uses that may increase the traffic that's associated with your streets as a result of the development. So basically, your zoning master plan provides that the board, the planning board is going to oversee applications, and then in order to do that, you need to have your own professional, independent professional advice other than just getting what the applicant gives you. And therefore, based upon that, you need to be able to continue your escrow so you can have your professionals give you advice on applications. So from my standpoint, I believe it's consistent with the master plan because it works towards the goals of the master plan of giving the board the tools to evaluate applications.
Do we know, have there been problems in the past with getting an escrow or deciding to do something? I know a couple of the applications talked about getting the CAPEX survey done, for instance, but elected not to.
Well, the prior language was very generalized and said that the board did have the authority to engage professionals and to charge escrows or to collect escrows to pay these costs. It wasn't specific as to which professionals. This has become specific as to professionals. It does still have a general language, and now also talk specifically about professional planners, professional traffic engineers, professional engineers, and the like. So it's not a whole lot different than what you had before. It's just a little bit more specific and has some bright lines with regards to, for instance, talking about, and if you look at the highlight on number 3 on your handout, there's a highlight there. Charges for traffic expert whose analysis shall at minimum. So we weren't required to have an expert, traffic expert at all, but in the circumstances outlined here, you're going to require a traffic report that shall at minimum include a study of 2 weekdays, 1 weekend, and 1 hour at peak time in the location of the development. So this is basically saying, hey, we, the governing body, really want you guys to keep a close look on traffic. And giving you the authority to do that and giving you the funds to get that kind of information so that you can better evaluate applications.
So this basically says if we choose to have a traffic expert, we shouldn't worry about the escrow funds. That is delineated that the escrow funds can go towards that.
The escrow funds can go towards that, but not only that, they're saying at minimum, if you're going to hire a traffic expert, we want you to get at least this amount of information.
Which says provides a little more clarity to a potential applicant.
Yeah.
So that they have a better understanding of what is in store once the application process goes forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt a little bit, but
at least they know it's
coming. They know it's coming.
Yeah. Any further discussion from the board? Staff review seems to say it is in line with our master plan, which is what we're here to check.
So if the board needs to take have a motion and second to determine that that this is consistent with the master plan. Get a consistency report, we just have to check yes or no, whether it is or is not. So we need a motion and second to do that.
Mr. McGoldrick.
I'll second.
Mr. Dottie. Ms. Burke, if you would.
Mr. Hackama?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Dockery?
Yes.
Ms. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
The next item in the other business in the workshop meeting is a discussion in reference to making our meeting time 7 p.m. to be consistent with the other different organizations in town that are subject to the open public meeting time, so that either more people can attend. We've checked that with both Mr. Dodd and Mr. Rohmeyer at CME, and that seems to fit their schedule as well. I would just be concerned that sometimes we have people run in here at 7:45 or something.
Yeah.
So I think that depends completely on the makeup of the board. But very often, Ms. Murray's walking in at 7:35 and she's hustling to get here. Dr. Cetron, those that would, Mr. Pepe, those that did not work in the immediate area.
Was there a reason historically why these meetings have been at 7:30, or just that's the way it's been?
I don't know that answer, to be honest with you. Inertia.
With powerful force.
We do have one more meeting prior to having to prepare the schedule for 2020, December meeting. Perhaps wait until we have a more robust membership of the board here to have this discussion and possibly make that decision. Considering I believe almost everybody here, everyone who's on the left side lives and works on here. All right, so we'll table that for the next meeting then, for the under other business, the workshop meeting again. May I have a motion for adjournment, please?
Make a motion.
Matt? Mr. Goldrick, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ms. Burke, may I have a call to order of the regular meeting, please?
Dr. Clovey? Mr. Murphy? Mr. Hawley? Mr. Cockema?
Here.
Dr. Citron? Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Pepe? Mrs. Murray? Mr. Colangelo?
Here.
Mr. Doherty?
Here.
Ms. Drew?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Mr. Iliano?
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for October 10th, 2019. I will need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
And Mr. Neff?
Second.
Ms. Dougherty?
Mr. Cockema?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Doherty?
Yes.
Ms. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the attorney's voucher for September 2019 in the amount of $3,145.50. Mr. McGoldrick?
I'll second it.
Ms. Drew?
Mr. Cockema?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Doherty?
Yes.
Ms. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Mr. Chairman, I'm suggesting that the board go out of order for the next item and deal with item number 8, 2019-11. That's block 9, lot 5.03, 254 East Highland Avenue, Jason Tech, an application for variance for a garage. A few days ago, I guess it was maybe Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, received materials from a neighboring objector. Those materials included information that indicating that the, as a result of the subdivision application that created this lot, and this, by the way, was the old Hopper House lot, and that was, the Hopper House was removed and it was subdivided into two residential building lots several years ago. And part of that approval included a determination that the subject lot should not be allowed to have buildings placed along the westerly property line less than 30 feet from that property line. And the genesis of that, going back to the resolution of approval, is that the board found at that time, as a result of the neighboring property owner's interest, that let me read from the resolution. Part of it talked about the number of trees to meet the street tree requirement. It said the applicant will locate trees in an area of the property and not along the front property line, that would be the property line on Ocean Ave, to avoid blocking the view across the Sandy Hook Bay and New York skyline from the proposed residences and the existing residences around them. So the purpose of that was not only to protect the property owner of the subject property, but also the neighboring property owners. The resolution also noted that at the second hearing, the applicant presented revised plans and brought the homes further from Ocean Boulevard to reduce obstruction of the view of the bay to adjacent property owners. So they physically agreed to move the properties further back in order not to impede that view. The applicant also proposed spreading the street trees throughout the property in a layout that will not obstruct the view of the bay and the New York skyline. And the resolution went on later on to indicate adjacent property owners indicating concerns about the development, and particularly the loss of their view of the bay and New York City. In response, the applicant proposed to grant an additional variance relief for side yard setback, shifting the setback further, and this will provide for a west sideline setback of 33 feet. The planning board finds that this is an appropriate and reasonable accommodation and results in a better planning alternative, such that the positive criteria for that variance has been demonstrated. So part of the criteria for granting the variance was that the side property line, the westerly line, would maintain a minimum of 33 feet. And then finally, the resolution contained special condition number 3, saying the applicant is granted a waiver from street trees along the property frontage to minimize obstruction of views of the subject property and adjacent properties across the San Diego Bay. And special condition number 5, the applicant shall maintain a minimum side yard setback to all structures of 33 feet along the westerly property line. This restriction shall be formalized by recording a deed informing content approved by the board attorney and engineer. And that was a condition of approval. That condition was followed. The applicant actually filed and recorded a deed restriction indicating that they could not place a building within 33 feet of that westerly property line. Now, normally, I sent a letter, I don't know if it was distributed to the board, I sent a memorandum to the board, as well as to the attorney for the applicant. And my research indicates that although the general rule is that restrictions in a resolution, if there's a restriction, an applicant can ask for that restriction to set aside due to changed circumstances or due to coming up with a better solution than was previously done. And that our case law says that yes, the board is required to entertain a request for relief from a condition of approval. That's the general rule. However, we have an appellate division case, which has not been overturned, which is the Sousa case. And that case says there's an exception to the general rule. And that is when that restriction has been recorded in a deed and is in favor not only of the town, but of other property owners, including the general public, which this apparently is, then the board, neither the board nor the governing body has the authority to remove that restriction. And the property owner must go to the Chancery Division of the Superior Court to request relief from that restriction and convince the Superior Court of that they've got legitimate reasons to do that. Based upon that case, this board can't give the applicant the relief that they want. You can't grant, this is a request for a variance to allow a setback of 10 feet instead of 33. This board can't grant that approval. That only a court can. And the Sousa case said in this circumstance that what the planning board should do is dismiss the case, and if the applicant to the property owner wants to try and remove that restriction, they're going to have to go to the courts to do that. So my recommendation is for the board to dismiss this application at this time. I have spoken with the applicant's attorney. He's reviewed my memorandum. He advised me that he looked at it, and he does not disagree with my analysis. Is anyone here this evening from the applicant? You're here against the applicant. So there's no one here. He indicated that he didn't think he was going to come and resist the dismissal of the case. And therefore, my recommendation to the board is to take a vote to motion second to dismiss the case and adopt the resolution at the next meeting.
Anyone have any comments?
That's pretty straightforward, given the fact that the applicant has decided on that event.
Yeah. I did invite them in my memorandum that if they had contrary authority, they were welcome to come and present it, and I would be perfectly happy to consider it. But I've not received that from them, and they're not here to present.
I will say they did send a letter to Ms. Burke. I don't know what the entire board, but didn't they ask that they move to the next meeting?
They did. They asked to be carried to December.
For what reason?
Again, I just wanted to bring that up. That
letter was aware of that.
When was that letter sent? Was it prior to Mr. Stibes' memo?
No.
After.
After.
Yeah, today.
It was, yeah.
I mean, at the same time, I just wanted to say that, but if we don't have the ability to review the case well, sorry, the application, the rehabilitation.
Is there any reason why we can't make this decision next month?
No, you can carry it if you want it. That's up to the board. I received a call from the other attorney, and the indication was, I agree with your analysis. I said, fine, if you find something, let me know. And I heard nothing back, but if the board wants to carry it, just to make sure that, you know, you're covered and you don't get some kind of a brief or something from the other side, you can do that. And then
the other side will have consequences.
Oh, we sent out a letter at the last minute. What do you mean you didn't get?
He verbally told me he was going to write you a letter if he didn't.
I didn't receive it.
Okay, so.
At least not as of 5:15.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I actually downloaded to not have a motion for the application for Western League property line of the applicant. And I respect the submitted to the board that he didn't even show up. Should be dismissed, number one. number two. And you have two people that are on the west. We are the Westerly property line adjacent to his Westerly property line. We're here.
Thank you. My name is Valerie Green. I live at 252, and I'm actually the one that discovered this deed restriction. And it just, I guess I just need to vent. It boggles my mind that they hired a professional attorney and the same architect that designed those homes 10 years ago with this deed restriction, and they were still going forward with this. I mean, it's shady at best. You know, just ignore the deed restriction if it doesn't come up.
Let's not get into, you know, the merits of who did what.
It's just mind-boggling that it's gotten this far.
At this point, we're deciding if it's going to go any further at this point. So rather than talking the actual application itself, right now, based on the merits of what Mr. Stye found, we're deciding if we are to hear that application, which at said time, if we end up doing, you're welcome to come here and raise whatever questions you have. All right?
I have a question for Ms. Burke. When the request was made to adjourn until the next meeting, what was the response given by the borough? I mean, was it, I'll check with the planning board, or was it an unqualified yes?
I didn't give a response. He was supposed to send Mr. Stibe a letter, and apparently he didn't.
I think that there is an ability to appeal any decision made here, and I think that the applicant and his or her attorney could have been here today.
Right.
Yes, and I think sending a letter and not getting a response as to whether or not the application has been adjourned is a risk that was taken. And I think my viewpoint is that we make a motion on dismissal, you know, and we take a vote on it, rather than carrying it.
I agree. I mean, the attorney said that he basically agreed with Mr. Stye, didn't disagree. They're not here tonight to say anything.
I happened to do it. I just thought it was important to know that they did try to send a letter very late and never got it. So it was longer than we ever sat.
Yeah, for the business, I wasn't there, so.
I would need a motion on Mr. Stout's recommendation.
I have a motion to dismiss.
Mr. McGoldrick.
I second that motion.
Ms. Drew.
Mr. Kakaba?
Yes.
Mr. Nett?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda, memorialization, PB 19-1L, Lot 9, 4, Lot 17, 37 4th Avenue, 48. Memorialized resolution for application for use in World Fair.
Motion to accept.
Mr. Nett.
Second.
Doc.
Mr. Kakaba?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Dockey?
Yes.
Ms. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is PB19-08, Block 144, Lot 1, 57 Avenue B. PB19-04, Lot 1, I'm sorry, Block 1, Lot 26, 36 Bayside Drive, Potter. Memorialized resolution for application of use and bulk variances.
No, there were a couple of very minor language changes that did not change the substance. They were requested by the applicant's counsel. And they're just matters of clarification, not changes the substance.
And I would need a motion for that memorialization.
I'll move to accept.
Mr. Dockery. Second. Mr. Goldrick.
Mr. Kakuma?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Dockery?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda, PB19-08, Block 144, Lot 1, 57 Avenue D, Stout. Application for bulk variance or a shed.
Mr. Chairman, I review the application and the service in order. The board has that jurisdiction to hear the case. And I'm aware of the following exhibits that the board has received in connection with the application. They include Exhibit A1, which is zoning review of your zoning officer, Michelle Clark, that's dated June 17, 2019. Exhibit A2 is the variance application of Miles Stout, that's dated March 21, 2019. Exhibit A3 is a survey prepared by Charles Vermont, professional engineer and land surveyor, that's dated March 31, 2016. Exhibit A4 is a survey prepared by Charles Vermont, that's dated March 31, 2016, with a drawn shed location. And Exhibit A5 is a review number 1 from the engineer CMU Associates, that's dated July 15, 2019. Those are the exhibits that we received thus far in connection with the application. And this is Mr. Stout.
Yes, sir.
So would you raise your right hand and be sworn, please? Are you both going to testify? Or just are you both in at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay, do you each either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And ladies first, name and address.
Kathleen Tessie, and
57 Avenue. Miles South, 57
Avenue. We would like to start off, tell the board about your application, why you would like the variance, and why you would grant the variance approvals.
Good evening. First, I'd just like to thank my family, friends, and neighbors for showing up tonight with their ongoing support and attendance. Approximately last March, I received a notice of violation while I was doing work in my backyard gardening for a cease and desist on a shed in my backyard. The shed was actually there for over a year, about a year and a half. So we're going back over 2 years now that the shed's been in the backyard. Prior to me getting the shed, I do check with my neighbors, Mike in Maryland and John and Marcy. They are my bordering neighbors. Anything I do as far as work on the house and talked about the shed for the backyard and even the location of it. Spoke to Mike in Maryland. Bigger in attendance tonight for our location of it. We looked at the northwest corner. That's basically the only spot it can go in the yard. I have a very small backyard. My side yard is not fenced, and this is the only basically fenced-in area of the backyard. For location, we spoke back and forth, and they actually liked the idea because it provided them some privacy from their yard and their bathroom and their bedroom. Secondly, checked, so once we got the okay from our neighbors, checked with the structure company if there are any anything we had to do prep as far as construction, anything prior to, so we get the permits.
They said they didn't know of anything because we weren't pouring a concrete slab, that we wouldn't need any permits because it would just be a gravel foundation. Then, I guess this is where the misunderstanding came in. I called downtown and I asked, do I need a construction permit for a shed? I'm not pouring a slab. It's going to be, you know, a prefabricated shed. We talked for a bit. Again, this is over 2 years ago, so I'm not positive who I talked to. Did not need a construction permit. So about 2 years ago, the shed was put in, laid down the foundation with gravel and basically a wood box to hold it in. And about a year and a half later, that's when I received a notice of violation. I immediately called. I asked what it was for because I was just gardening and making like flower beds and stuff in my backyard, so the fence was open. And they said it was because you were building a shed. I let them know the shed's been there for almost a year and a half at that time, and now it's over 2 years. So I believe following week, I immediately came downtown. I spoke to Ms. Clark and Ms. Burke about the violation and where I need to go from there, as far as what I need to do to correct it or make it right. And then we started the variance process, which has taken about 8 months to submit the paperwork. So that's basically it. We looked up some other codes and zoning. When I had questions, we came down and we talked about it. I didn't see anything where it said it had to be a 5-foot setback from the property line. I saw where it has to be a minimum of 5 feet from a primary residence or structure. And even in prep 5-2, for the accessory buildings, which the shed would be an accessory building in the side yard and rear yard for my zone district, it says rear yard 5 feet, side yard 5 feet, and also in the general zoning provision for 150-54, it just states distance from a principal building. No detached accessory building in any residential zone shall be less than 5 feet from a principal building. I measured it from my neighbor's house. Mike, it's a little over 7 feet from his residence to the shed. And you can see in the picture, you really can't even see my neighbor's house. It's approximately 2.5, 2 feet on the side. I'm pretty big. I can get around the shed just fine for cleanup, maintenance, any other things that need to be done as far as leaves, debris. And that's basically what we're requesting is the variance to keep it where it's at.
Just real quick before you get a question, would you kindly take that chair and turn your exit around so anyone in the public that wants to see it?
Oh, they've also asked me for this gentleman over here. So main structure for my house is here. Here's where the shed is, and this is Mike and Marilyn's house right over here. And it's about 7 feet away from their home.
And let me, for the record, note that this is a board-mounted photograph, which
yes,
I guess you can describe to the board what that shows, along with a copy of an enlarged survey showing the location.
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is a survey of the property, and I just put a yellow sticky where the shed would be.
And that's going to be Exhibit A6, I'm sorry. And you'll have to leave that with us.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes,
and why don't you just describe to the board what the picture shows?
The picture, so it's basically from my parking lot from the street. So as you're looking in from the street to my fence line and the backyard, it's the top of the shed. It is 10 feet exactly from the spine of the top of the roof, and it's 14 by 10, so it's 140 square feet, which I also noticed that it says it cannot exceed 12 feet or 150 square feet. So I was also inside that box for the provision. That's why I just kind of got confused why I even received the violation. And it was almost 2 years, and, you know, a little over a year and a half
it's really because where you put the shed, just in there. And understanding that mistakes were made, if you do something like that, you would still need, you would need this board's approval. All right, so no matter what happens, we're here now, I just want to ask some general questions about the shed itself, rather than what happened. All right?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Romar, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like you're looking for two variances, one for a 2-foot side yard setback and a 1.5-foot. No others were, I, the last one I had with that is July, depending on whether what I just.
Can you just reconfirm the overall height of the structure?
10 feet.
10, where 12 is permitted. So I believe that's it at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Romar. We put the shed in, I don't.
Structures on 36.
Any other board member have any questions with this?
What is the, I can't see on there, I have it in front of me, so I guess I should look at that. But from your house to the back property line?
Right here.
No, on your map, or on your survey, rather. So what is the distance from the back of the house to?
11, it tapers off, it's
right.
Up to 16, and I have, it's kind of an odd shape, and it tapers back to 11.
Okay. And so where it's 16 feet, you have a little bit of a deck with stairs going down.
This is a stairwell to the basement.
Oh, to the basement.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry. This is it's a back entrance to the basement.
Okay.
No other temporary sheds in the property? This is the only?
No, sir.
Other
it's structure. The only structure that's
there. And it's used as a shed?
Shed, storage, yeah. Yes.
But there's no sink in it?
No.
Not a cabana?
No,
or anything like that?
No, you know, we did for the bathroom.
Not
man cave.
No.
It's like guarding stuff, storage, pillows and stuff for patio furniture, stuff like that.
No electric pump in that, so.
No.
Any other questions for this witness?
Just referencing the photograph, you're showing
yes, sir.
A solid fence around the front, and it looks like it goes down the side. That also is to the rear of the property as well?
Strict. This is, yes, sir. This is the parking lot or driveway. This is the front profile of the fence, and then the fence line continues on basically between our house and Mike and Marilyn's house.
And does it also go along the other property
line? It does, yes, sir. So it's completely boxed off. So from our property, it goes straight across. So here's our driveway. The shed's here, and it's wrapped around this way. And it's finished off in line with the house. The side yard is completely open. And the front yard here.
Ms. Kenny, do you have anything to add? For discussion.
Good.
Thank you. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to the public first. Have any questions for this witness? Seeing no questions, does anyone in the public have any comments in reference to this application? Michelle.
Alan Sherman, 55 Avenue
Beaver. Neighbors next door. Sherman, sorry, Lynn. And why don't you come up so the microphones pick you up? Just raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that Mike and I both support what Miles has been doing. We had a neighbor for many years who had a trash heap of the way he conducted his property. He left a lot of things around. We have an excellent neighbor who has done everything he can to make his property better, which in turn reflects on our property and does a lovely job for the whole neighborhood. We support, he's come to us with every change that he's made, access if we like it or not, and we do, because he puts the best construction on everything, as they say. And uses fine materials, considers what we are and who we are, as well as what he's doing for himself. I just wanted to say that we both support what he's done and hope you will vote for the approval of the variances.
Thank you. And do you, as a neighbor, do you have any opinion as to whether or not the granting of this variance would in any way have any substantial detrimental impact upon you for your property or the neighborhood properties?
There's nothing that I can see that would be a detriment to our property or our neighbor's property, only to the good.
Or to the no detriment to the surrounding density of your neighborhood?
No. Thank you.
Mr. Saddam, I need you to step that way so I can see what they said.
Sorry, raise your right hand to be sworn. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And now your name and address?
Mike Sherpin, 55 Avenue D. I'm a neighbor of Mr. Stout. I wanted to publicly, and with the planning board, to thank Mr. Stout for putting the shed where he put it. And he asked me, where would you like the shed? And I said, well, we have a bathroom. Then we have my bedroom. Then we have a little 10-foot space. We have a little courtyard. I said, I'd love it to be right there to block your view into my bedroom, into my bathroom. And we discussed doing other structures, like corbulas, I don't know what you call them.
Pergolas,
and you know, high fence, 14-foot high fences, to give us privacy and him privacy. Well, he put the shed in there, and I was delighted because it gave us all the privacy we need. How high is it?
It's 10 feet, but their yard, even though we're right next to each other, you're about 2-3 feet higher. So for their actual house, their windows are all higher, so it's kind of, you can kind of see right in and out.
So what I'm trying to indicate to you is that I can stand on my tiptoes, I can stand on the ladder in any one of those three rooms that I have, or two rooms that I have in my courtyard, and I can't see a thing that's going on in that backyard. And I am delighted. And I would really love to see the board give this guy a break, you know, give him the variance. It's okay with me to where it is. And if you wanted to move it closer to my fence line, I wouldn't care. Okay? So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Ms. Wiginton, you had your hand up?
Yes, sir.
Do you swear or affirm any testimony given in connection with this proceeding to be the truth, or this might be the truth?
I'm a neighbor of Miles, Cat Corner. I can't even imagine anybody from the outside even seeing the shed. But I would, after all the necessary hoops that we've had to go through, I would encourage all to post haste, grant his variance. Thank you. He's a great neighbor, and I'm a friend.
Thank you. Unfortunately, the hoops are the process.
Oh,
no, I understand, sir.
No, that's what I said. Okay. Sorry, hoops. Yeah. Yeah.
Please understand that.
Yeah, right. Right. I understand.
This is judge on the merits of this application, not based on how long it took you to get. Okay. I do have a question. How much space is between the shed and the house?
The shed and the house?
Corner of the house right there in the shed.
It's 12 to 15 feet.
Is it fair to say that on your markup, your site plan with the yellow rectangle, is it fair to say that's not drawn to scale?
No
sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like, you know.
That's what he asked.
Yeah, no, sorry, this is...
I just like engineer questions.
Yeah, there is a good amount of space in between. You could probably drive through a car if you had.
Any board discussion? They've received
don't seem to care.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, and it's a good location, it's dark, it's the best location you can do with it.
It's been there.
It's, yeah.
Don't try to shake company.
That's why, sir, like, I kind of, anytime I do anything, it's neighbors first, then the company, and then I'll usually call downtown or try to look things up.
I remember, I understand what happened. You said may have put a shed, not necessarily where. So the answer you probably got was, don't do this, but.
Well, and the thing that I couldn't even find on the website was anything about variances. Because initially when I called, I remember asking for an instruction permit. And that's where the misunderstanding happened.
You need one, but you want.
I didn't need one, so there it is. And then I'm like, okay, I don't need a permit for that. And it kind of.
I understand, but just so, you know, it's, yeah, just so, you know, it's not really a horrible process, but it's necessary.
No, I understand, sir.
I had the exact same problem.
Nah.
The exact same problem.
Well, not good at those, nah.
But it's so.
I make a motion to approve it.
Mr. Knapp?
I'll second it.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Mr. Cockwell?
Yes.
Mr. Knapp?
Yes.
Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. Dockery?
Yes.
Ms. Drew?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, thank you. Wait on you, Mr. Knapp.
Anytime.
I have a second on that.
Second.
Any, all approved?
Yes.
Any opposed? Motion is passed. There's one here. You see what happens, someone gives you a whisk, you think a capital.
Speaking of recycling, would you like these?
Sure, thank you. I love this one.